I invite you to please stand for the call to worship. And I invite everyone to please hold up their crosses here as we prepare for the call to worship and the recessional gospel reading. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. Our gospel reading for this afternoon or this evening, morning, comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew 21. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find the donkey tied, a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." He took this place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophets, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble, mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" And the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. And a large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of them that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from the Nazareth in Galilee." The Gospel of the Lord. To the Son of David. Blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Let's sing together our opening hymn.
No more crosses.
Hang those up.
Your King, the King of Israel, and David's royal son, who in the Lord's name blaming, our King, the blessed one. Glory, Lord, and honor to the Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children make sweet hosannas ring. The company of angels are praising thee on high, and mortal men and all things created make reply. Our glory, Lord, and honor to the Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring. The multitude of pilgrims with palms before you went, our praise and prayer and anthems before you we present. Glory, Lord, and honor to you, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children make sweet hosanna.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who journeys with us these 40 days and sustains us with the gifts of grace. Amen. I invite you to please be seated. And let's go ahead and go to a dark screen first, and we'll start with some quick announcements for you. I want to remind everybody that this is the beginning of our Holy Week, and we have great services that are coming up that are written just for this congregation. So we invite you to come back on Maundy Thursday at 6:30 and Good Friday at 6:30 for these services. Again, there is no Wednesday service and no soup this week. So I invite you to come back for those services this week. And then again, we have Easter breakfast on Sunday after the 6:30 sunrise service and the 9:30 regular service, and we have breakfast between those two services. So I invite you to come back next weekend. We have a great slate of services and a very powerful message for us this year. For those of you who have been a part of our congregation for several weeks now and are interested in becoming a part of our congregation, I invite you to fill out one of these yellow forms if you're interested in becoming a part of our church as an official member. And these are found on the island in the back there, and I invite you to bring these to me. Or to put them on the desk after you've completed them. And we'll go ahead, and once I get a handful of them, we go ahead and we schedule an orientation. I want to let you know that Caden, our high school student, I don't think he's here yet today. Yeah, he is here. Come on, Caden, come on forward. This is a young man that had open brain surgery. And 4 days later, went home, and he was actually playing chess 2 days after brain surgery and amazed the doctors. So I wanted to say congratulations, and it's so glad that you are doing well and up and about. So, thank you for
being here. Yay. All right, good. Y'all can hear me. I don't really have much to say other than thank you so much for all the people who signed that massive card, and even if you didn't, it's like this big. And even if you didn't, you just prayed for me. I really do appreciate it. I love all you guys, like, just to the moon and back, man. Thank you so much. That's really all I had to say.
He is back in school. Actually, this last week, I think you were doing homeschooling basically this last week, right? All right, yeah. he has basically no restrictions, which is amazing. The doctors were telling him in the hospital that he basically not go back to school at all this year. And here he is doing this amazing. So congratulations. I think it's definitely a miracle that he is with us and doing as well as he is. So congratulations, Caden. All right, with that, let's go ahead and continue our worship with our brief order of confession and forgiveness. So let's take a moment to acknowledge before God and one another our need for repentance and God's mercy. Let's take a moment of silence. Let us confess. Holy God, we confess to you our faults and failings. Too often we neglect and do not trust your holy word. We take for ourselves instead of giving to others. We spoil rather than steward your creation. We cause hurt, though you call us to heal. We choose fear over compassion. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us as we seek to follow your way of life. So hear the great news. The God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that all may receive life. This promise is for you. And God embraces you with divine mercy and forgives you in Christ's name and revives you into the Spirit's power. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let's pray together the prayer of the day. O God of mercy and might, in the mystery of the passion of your Son, you offer your infinite life to the world. Gather us around the cross of Christ and preserve us until the resurrection through Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Do we have a reader for today?
The reading for today is Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Paul uses an early hymn to help us comprehend Jesus' obedient selflessness on the cross and how God has made Christ Lord over all reality. The perspective of the cross becomes the way of we rightly understand God, Christ, our own lives, and fellowship within the community of Christ. Here starts the reading. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ, who, though he was the form of God, he did not regard the equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now read Psalms chapter 31, verses 9 through 16, responsively. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with sorrow, and also my throat and my belly.
Grief, and my years with sighing, my strength fails because of affliction.
I am the scorn of all my enemies, a disgrace to my neighbors, a dismay to my acquaintances. When they see me in the street, they avoid me. For I have heard the whispering of the crowd. Fear is all around. They put their heads together against me. They plot to take my life. My times are in your hands. Rescue me from the hands of my enemies and for those who persecute me. Here ends the reading. Please stand for the gospel.
Thank you. Let's go ahead and be seated and have the choir sing first this time.
Thank you.
Let's give them a round of applause. It's great to have the choir back again. Thank you, guys. I invite you to please stand for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel reading for today comes to us from Matthew chapter 27. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave them no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent a word to him, "Having nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I am suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." And Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus who is called the Messiah?" And all of them said, "Let him be crucified." And then he asks, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." Then the people as a whole answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." So he released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put on a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns onto a crown, they put it on his head. And they put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. And then they sat down and there kept watch over him. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, saying, shaking their heads, saying, "You would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he wants to." For he said, "I am God's son." The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over on the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." And at once one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine and put it on a stick and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and save him." Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion with those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this man was God's son." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Please be seated. At this time, I see that we have several of our young people here. Why don't we have them come forward? Have our young people come forward. Anybody, little ones, want to come forward? I have a gift for you today. It's worth it. Hello. How's my hockey player?
Good.
Nice to see you. Well, this last several weeks, we've been having this special service here on Wednesday nights where we've been talking about this symbol of the fish. It's called the Jesus fish. Has anybody seen the Jesus fish before? Well, it looks like this. And this is a necklace I'm going to give you. It's a Jesus necklace. And what we've talked about is that what does this stand for? And this Jesus symbol stands for Jesus Christ is God's Son, our Savior. And it's a preparation of letting people know who Jesus is. And back in the time of Jesus, people were scared to say that they were followers of Jesus. So they would write the sign of the symbol of the fish in the sand to let others know that they were believers in Jesus too. Today we read this huge gospel, long story, and we're going to read it again this week, that leads us up to Easter. It's all about Jesus. It's all about who Jesus is. And Jesus dies for what he claims to be, and that is to be God. Nobody liked to hear that. But he ended up dying for us to show us how much God really loves us and to forgive us, to say, you know what, I love you so much that I'm willing to die for you. And that's what we celebrate on Easter morning. Some people like to celebrate with candy. Well, that's me. I like candy. Yes, I love candy and Easter bunnies and all that. But when you think about it, we're basically supposed to be celebrating Jesus as he rises from the dead and comes out of the tomb. And he is no longer dead, but alive. And nobody comes back from the dead except for Jesus. When you're God, you can do much anything. And God says, showed the holes in his hands and said, "This is how much I love you." And that is what we celebrate on Easter morning, about how much God loves us. And we celebrate it with chocolate. And with Easter breakfast pancakes. Yeah. With syrup. Real syrup. Yeah. You like syrup? You guys are shy. Yeah. Real syrup. So we invite you back here at Easter morning to celebrate. And we do have an Easter egg hunt in their side. In some of those chocolate eggs, there's chocolate. And remember that God has given us all these gifts because God loves us. So I want you to take this, and you can wear this, and you can tell people that Jesus is our Savior, the one who saved us and the one who loves us. And you can show that that's what this Jesus fish stands for, is Jesus' love for us. All right? So amen. Happy Easter, and we'll see you next weekend, hopefully. All right. Thanks for coming forward. There's a lot of people here today, and I know there's a lot of people that this is their last weekend before you head back to the Midwest or wherever you come from. And so I invite you today after service to stay and have some fellowship with others to let them know a little bit about what's happening back in the Midwest this week. A little bit of a blizzard, I guess. I don't know why you're heading back, but that's okay. You know, my brother, when I talk to him, he wonders why he's there. It's like, I understand that. I wonder why you're there too, but that's besides the point. Anyways, we're here today on this Palm Sunday as we prepare for Easter morning. And we read a lot of scriptures in the next couple of days, this next week, about these stories about the crucifixion of Jesus and what leads up to that. And today we have these readings from Matthew, which is a little bit different than some of the other Gospels. And it talks about the perspectives of the final days of Jesus' fates. Yet, in the end, we know that Jesus wins. We just talked about that with the kids. In the end, Jesus wins. And he feeds us all with his love. You know, frankly, when we talk about trying to understand Jesus' death and how that demonstrates love, it's hard to understand, and at least not from the part of the entire story, that Jesus' death is supposed to demonstrate that love somehow. It's hard to understand that entire story from the time of Jesus' birth to the Easter story. When we hear that Jesus comes to us to heal us by living and dying among us. You know, but this is not a sermon today about the atonement of Christ or talking about the reasons why God had to die and why Jesus had to become the Son of Man. You know, first of all, we have our reading today that we talked about what started all of this. We have the processional of the Gospel of Matthew. And with that reading today, we know that Easter is coming. But there have already been many signs in our congregation that Easter is coming. You know, we don't need to especially be a keen observer in the church to know that this Easter Sunday is right here. And those who have not been around since Christmas, you know what it means to, when you show up at church and there's particular things like purple on the altar and purple banners, and I'm wearing a purple stole. And there are midweek worship services on the calendar where we have soup and we have special services that lead us up to understanding about teaching us about our relationship with Jesus Christ. And soon, this next week, we'll be purchasing Easter lilies to put on our altar to celebrate new life. And then today, you are given a palm cross to wave during the processional to demonstrate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Now, no one really didn't need to have be a special religious resident of Jerusalem on that day either to recognize that something special was going to happen, and that prophet named Jesus was making his way into the town on a donkey or on a colt, while people were shouting Hosanna and laying coats on the floor, on the ground, and palm branches on his path. You know, they didn't have purple pyramids, but they are accused to us to what's to come. And our crosses and our hosannas alert us and the residents of Jerusalem to a coming reality that something big is about to happen. God is up to something. God is up to something in that very presence back in Jerusalem for which the faithful have prayed for centuries, the coming of the Messiah. For the crowds, this isn't just about Jesus. God, the God of the universe, is up to something among the chosen people, and they want to be a part of it. So this is the production of the Lord, a production in which the human Jesus has to have a starring role in it, but a production which has implications far beyond him, universal implications. Of course, in the same way that the purple vestments we have, sometimes they mean nothing to people in our congregations. There were those in Jerusalem who this palm parade was simply just confusing. It really didn't mean much of anything. I teach in confirmation class about the different colors of our altar and the different banners colors that we have. And sometimes the kids have never been observant enough to realize that we do have different colors and they're meaning something. There's a reason why we have these different colors. And it's like, wow, I never knew that. It tells a story. Matthew tells us that the whole city was in turmoil when all this was happening. You know, here at the church, it's been a really busy place for the last 40 days, and this next week is going to be crazy with all the music and stuff that we've been working on for this next week. It's been kind of a little bit in turmoil. Then there are those that have been missing the meaning of the event. Those who are unfamiliar with the larger narrative and simply just want to know, who is this? Who is this Jesus? The kind of person that can inspire such unusual behavior among the country people there. And the people of Jerusalem, they were not, after all, unused to have these noble entries into their city. In fact, at that same week that Jesus entered Jerusalem from the east, which should have been that way, you know, Pontius Pilate arrived from the west, mounted on a horse, steeped appropriately high and signifying health, a wealth and prosperity. And for some reason, the picture of a big blue elephant pops into my head from this movie Aladdin. You know, remember that version that he's walking into town, all the music is pomping, the pomp and circumstance? Well, that's kind of what it was for Pontius Pilate. And people would have responded to his arrival as well, though not with prayers to God and with shouts of joy and demonstrations of praise like they did for Jesus. No, their responses would have been actions of the being intimidated, threatened, or even frightened of Pontius Pilate. No one would have wanted to draw attention to this earthly authority nor feel his displeasure because of what could have happened. It's no wonder the city was in turmoil. You know, half the people were wondering, well, with clear rationality, why provoke this Roman, the mighty Romans, by an action to showing such much attention to this preacher who claims to be someone outrageous like the Messiah. And the other half are showering or wondering with inspired piety, showering Jesus with praise. And so how can we withhold our praise when God is clearly acting out in our midst as well? The tides of these different groups are soon collide. And I hope that those of you who haven't been around for the last 40 days will participate in the next 7 so that you can participate in what's been happening with the story of Jesus. Next, on the other hand, this so-called prophet from a small town in Galilee, a human, would soon feel the full might of the empire in his tortured and broken body. And this Jesus, the one so named because he will save his people, Jesus literally means he will save. And according to Matthew's birth narrative, the Savior whom the Lord has sent will come, overcome all earthly authority, even death itself. And whenever we recognize the purple or the psalm crosses today, this holy drama is enough to compel us to say, out of our profound understanding or simple annual habit, Hosanna, Hosanna, Lord, save us. We did that at the beginning of our service. For the Lord is good, and God's steadfast love endures forever. Next, in our readings that we just had in our mid-gospel reading, we have the scene just before the cross. This is not the gory part of the story that some need to hear every year in order to get the picture of what happens. Matthew doesn't amplify the horror of the cross, but the gospel does show us how it looks when Jesus' followers cannot endure witnessing it. Some people, though, they really do need to hear about the grim details of Jesus' suffering. This gospel, though, does not dwell on those points, taking for granted that ancient audiences, they already understood the brutality of flogging and what a crucifixion meant. But still, even today, we have some believers that need to participate in that grueling spirituality of Mel Gibson's film of the Passion of the Christ to amplify what Jesus endured. You know, all of that nasty flogging and blood and suffering. There's no good news, though, to the degree of Jesus' suffering. Most of us, we try to minimize the brutality reality of Jesus' birth, or Jesus' death, that is. The crosses that we hang in our churches around the necks are empty. They don't have the crucifix on it. They don't have the suffering Jesus on it. We have a quiet affirmation of the resurrection, the empty cross. We are eliminating the blood language from our hymnals, too, as well. We don't sing a lot of songs that have the blood and gory in it. We say things like, Jesus died to show God's love for us. We don't often say that Jesus suffered and died for our sins so that we don't have to suffer and die. Even Pilate wants to distance himself from Jesus' fate and the gore that was about to happen. Pilate's wife has already warned him, the governor, that Jesus was innocent, advising him not to get involved with Jesus' death. He protests to the crowds then, and somewhat weakly for the one who embodies Caesar's presence, he goes, why? What evil has this man done? Pilate even washes his hands and proclaims his own innocence. But Pilate may flog Jesus and hand him over to be crucified, but he will not witness to the final events, the blood and the gore. Passion Sunday, or Palm Sunday, asks that we pause to witness this act of violence. Jesus, God with us, is humiliated, tortured, executed, and buried. But if we want to appreciate what it means for God to dwell with us in all the glory and all the horror of our condition, it is time to sit still. Sit still and to listen, to hear this story once again during Holy Week. Read it again from the beginning. In the end, Jesus stays with us, however uncomfortable that makes us at times. I want to end today's sermon message with a litany that helps us to keep focus on the reason for this season. And I invite you to please read responsively with me in this litany. Today, we have cheered you on as our champion and hailed you as our hero. Forgive us tomorrow when our enthusiasm wanes. Today, we have entrusted you to rescue us from our pitiful circumstances. Today, we have made you the centerpiece of our very existence. Today, we have called out to you loudly by name on Thursday. And today, we have stared at you with the starstruck eyes of fans and groupies. Forgive us on Friday when we avert our eyes because it's too painful to see you on the cross. Today, we have expressed our unsuppressed hopefulness in the future that you have in store for us. Forgive us for Saturday when we believe that all is lost. And today we have been boldly certain of the earthly ways that you will redeem us. Restore us on Sunday when we are startled and awed by your rising. Amen. I invite you to please stand as we confess our faith, the faith in which we believe, through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I invite you to please be seated as we continue with receiving our morning tithes and offerings. Let's go to the gray screen, please. Gene, did the choir want an opportunity to sing? Is the choir going to sing? Gene, did you want the choir to sing? Okay. During communion. We'll continue with the prayers of the church. As we are sustained by God's abundant mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of creation. Save your church, O God. Enable us to boldly confess in every time and place that Jesus Christ is our Lord. With the humility of a servant, equip congregations, synods, and all other ministry settings to proclaim your extravagant love for all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Save your creation, O God. Every living being you have made has purpose. Give us renewed appreciation for farm animals who labor in the fields, for service animals who accompany their human companions, and above all, beloved pets who live alongside us, offering peace and comfort. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Save the peoples of the earth, O God. Restore dignity to those who are scorned and persecuted for their religious beliefs or political activism, and deliver them from the hand of their enemies. Bring peace to places where conflict runs deep. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Save those who cry to you in any need. Watch over all who are incarcerated or awaiting trial, and stand with those who are unjustly accused. Be present to those who are feeling isolated, lonely, or fearful. And we pray for those who are sick. Today we pray for Brian, for Caden, for Artis, for Frida, for Moyne, for Naomi, for Ruthie, for Lois, for Mike, for Joanne, for Joe, for Matthew, and all those we mention now silently in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Save us in your love, O God. Guide the work of church musicians, pastors, their choirs, the readers, the technicians, the acolytes, and all who assist in worship and prepare for worship. Sustain them in their leadership as they accompany congregations through this busy Holy Week. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Save us at last, O God. We give you thanks for your saints of old who embodied your servant love. As you came to their aid, so deliver us in times of trial, that every knee would bend in praise to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your steadfast love and your promise to renew your whole creation through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. This time I invite you to prepare for the Lord's Supper. Those of you who have cups, I invite you to go ahead and open those up right now at your seats. And I invite everyone to please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Yes, it is indeed right in duty, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to our Lord, whom on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread and he gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, after supper, in the same manner, he took the cup and he gave thanks. And he gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and help us to pray as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This is the body of Christ given for you. And the blood of Christ is shed for you. I invite you to now be seated as we continue with receiving our morning offerings together of our Lord's Christ, our sacraments, that is. And everyone is welcome, so I invite everyone to come and receive the elements of our Lord's Supper. Christ is given for you. I invite you to please stand. Now may the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you within God's grace, hope, peace, love, and joy, now and forever. Amen. I invite you to pray with me the prayer of after communion. Go back one slide, please. Embodied God, at your table we have tasted the goodness of Jesus. With the eyes of our hearts open to your promise, empower us to hear the needs of our neighbors and touch the world with your love. Amen. Now God, the giver of love, Christ, the resurrection and the life, and the Holy Spirit of rebirth, bless you in this Lenten journey. Amen. Let's sing together our closing song. The worship is over. Now let the service begin. Thanks be to God.